message you're about to listen to is from the altar of Impact House International Church. Stay blessed as you listen.
Praise the Lord. It's my pleasure to welcome you to God's presence this morning. And I trust God that no one will go back the same in Jesus' name. We want to thank God again for those awesome testimonies. And we trust God that there will be a multiplication of those testimonies in every life in Jesus' name. I want to thank God for the youth conference started since Thursday. It has been awesome. Thursday, Friday, yesterday was awesome. And we are grateful to God. And today we're here to thank Him. So we'll go into the Word briefly. And then we'll trust God to take us to a higher level in Jesus' name. Unveiling essentials for reigning. Unveiling essentials for reigning. It would be good that if you were not here on Thursday and Friday, yesterday, you can get the CD. It's possible to put the CD together. Please get those CDs if you indeed want to be successful and you want to reign in life. Please, it's important that you get the CD and listen to them. Unveiling essentials for reigning. You must know that you are destined to reign in life and destiny. In Revelations 1 verse 6, Revelations 1 verse 11 says, He had made us kings and priests unto God and our Father. So God has made us to be a king and a priest. He has made us to be a king and a priest. Either you are a king, a person reigning in a particular area of business, or you are a priest, a pastor, a preacher, or you are a combination of the two. He has made us to reign in life. He destined us to reign in life. And to reign means to be at the top, be at the topmost top in whatever you are doing, to excel. According to Deuteronomy 28:13, thou shalt be the head and not the tail. You are destined to be the head and not the tail, and thou shalt be above only. That's reigning. Nobody is looking for you on the ground. Nobody is searching for your GP on the ground. Nobody is looking for your family on the ground, because He programmed you to reign. And so shall it be for you in Jesus' name. Psalms 144 verse 12 also explains that to us further. Psalms 144 verse 12. The Bible was explaining to us also that our sons may be as plants grown up in their youth. Somebody say amen. And our daughters may be cornerstones, polished after the similitude of a palace. Polished. The ladies will be polished. The way a palace looks so beautiful, that is the way youths and sons and daughters that are here today, that's the way God wants your life to be. And I pray for somebody here today that will be transferred and will be seen visibly in your life in Jesus' name. There are some forces that are needed for reigning, some essentials that you need in life to reign properly. There are some things that must be in your life for your reign to be successful. And we'll look about seven of them this morning. Vital things that you need to be able to reign. It's things that you cannot do without it if you are going to be successful to reign. We'll get all of them together in the book of Revelation chapter 5 verse 12. Revelation chapter 5 verse 12. Saying with a loud voice, what is the Lamb that was slain to receive power, riches, wisdom, strength, honor, glory, and blessing. All these seven listed are essential for reigning. So we'll look at them one by one quickly, and then we trust God to move further. Number one, essential for everyone that wants to reign in life is power. Somebody say power. Power is the ability to make changes. Power is ability to cause and effect remarkable influence and change. Power is ability to be able to bring about, to effect remarkable influence and changes. And you can't reign except you are in power. We are in a wicked world and the devil doesn't want you to reign. That's why the Bible says in Luke chapter 10 verse 19, Luke 10:19, behold, I give unto you power to tread upon serpents and scorpions and over all the works of the devil, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. We are in a wicked world, a world whereby if you lack power, you can't go far. Ephesians chapter 6 verse 12, Ephesians 6 verse 12 explains to us the forces we wage war against. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, against rulers of darkness of this world, and spiritual wickedness in high places. These are the forces that does not want you to reign. These are the forces that does not want you to excel in business, in career, and in destiny. That's why a powerless Christian can't go far in life. A powerless Christian cannot reign. And for all these seven, I will be showing you how to get them. For power, you need to get it through prayers and fasting. Word, and I'll give you three sources of each of these things. There are many others, but I'll limit myself to three. So for power, how to access power? Be a man or woman of prayer. Be a youth that prays always. Be a youth that fasts regularly. Minimum of once a week. In the last many years of my life, 1 year, 2 years, 5 years, 10 years, I can't remember a week, a single week, without fasting. Even when I'm abroad. You cannot access power if you don't fast. You can't access power. So, prayer and fasting, the word and consecration is needed to be able to access power. Number two, force or essential for reigning is riches. Can you imagine how miserable a king or a queen will be without money? A king wants to go out and is begging people. Say, please go and borrow, go and beg for money from my subjects that I need to fuel my car. Just 500 naira to fuel my car. I want to go and greet one of my fellow kings. Now, that please, let them borrow me 1,000 naira. You need riches to reign. You need money. Bible says money answers all things. Money itself is not bad. It is the love of money that is bad. And that's why Jesus himself died so that you must be rich. 2 Corinthians 8 verse 9. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, he became poor, that you, through his poverty, might become rich. 2 Corinthians 8 verse 9. So Christ became poor so that you can become rich. Because the word riches is not from the grave, it's from the Bible. Christ wants you to be blessed because you need money to reign. Can you imagine a king that never came to cut his lights because he did not pay NEPA bill, 2,000 naira per month? You need money to reign. Can you imagine a king, they send back his four children from school. All of you go back home. Your daddy has not paid school fees in the last two terms. We forgave him first term, second term. No. If he cannot stay on the throne, let him live there. You need money to reign. And I speak to somebody here today. The days whereby your pockets are dry of resources, those days are over. The days whereby you are scratching the ground for money, those days are over. In Psalms 23 verse 1, David said, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. That was a man that reigned very well in life. The Lord is my shepherd, I am not permitted to want. I am not permitted to lack. In your family, surplus shall be the order of the day. In your family, surplus shall be the order of the day. I'd like to hear your loudest amen. I'd like to hear your loudest amen. I used to wonder sometimes that if I was not a little bit blessed, the level of visitors that visit our house and the level of people that come there from time to time for visitation, and nobody must go without getting something to put in the mouth, where would the resources come from? The level of influx of people and visitors that come for one thing or the other, one thing or the other, one thing or the other. You will not lack. I say you will not lack. Days whereby visitors will come and you tell them you are not at home, those days are gone. If I were you, I would say good amen. How do you access riches? Covenant practice. Be involved in the covenant. Be involved in the covenant. Be involved in tithing. Don't be a robber, like we said last week Sunday. Don't be involved in robbing God. You have robbed me. Malachi chapter 3, verse 8 to 10. I say, how did we rob you? In your tithing, your offerings. If you really want riches that are meant for you to reign, then you must be involved in covenant practice. It's as if some Christians, as if devil has sworn that they will never be wealthy. Because they've been hearing about covenant practice for a long time. But the devil never allowed them to be able to do it. He restricted them. And I pray for somebody here today, that grace will be released to you to be involved in covenant practice in Jesus' name. Second way to access this wealth and riches is diligence. You must not be lazy. You must not be lazy. And number three is divine direction. Divine direction. I'm speaking on the essentials for reigning. And number one that I talked about this morning is power. You need to be empowered. Number two, I said you need supplies. Don't let us deceive ourselves. Christianity does not mean stupidity. You need resources to live your life. Number three, essential for a Christian to reign is wisdom. Somebody say wisdom. I can't hear you. Somebody say wisdom. Louder, wisdom. In Proverbs 8:15 to 16, Proverbs 8:15-16. Wisdom is so important that by wisdom kings reign. Say, by me kings reign, and princes decree justice. By wisdom, you can't reign in any business or any venture if you have nothing upstairs. By me, princes rule, and nobles, even all judges of the earth, judges, magistrates, business tycoons, husband. Mama spoke on, I think on Thursday or on Friday, that every young lady, he said, don't marry a fool. That is, don't marry a guy who has nothing upstairs, who is not a wise guy. If you see a guy now that he doesn't have much in his pocket, maybe he's not pocketically loaded yet, but he has this thing called wisdom, follow him. I mean, amongst other things, which we have talked about in the course of the program. If somebody has cunning wisdom and has some money, don't follow him, because he will do cunning for you also. But godly wisdom, if he has it, follow him. It's not a wonder that a man like Solomon in 2 Chronicles chapter 1, verse 6 to 12, when he became king, the first thing and the only thing he asked for is wisdom. And Solomon went up thither to the brazen altar before the Lord, which was at the tabernacle of the congregation, and offered 1,000 burnt offering upon it. In that night did God appear unto Solomon and said unto him, ask what I shall give thee. And Solomon said unto God, thou hast showed great mercy unto David my father, and hast made me to reign. Somebody say reign. To reign in his stead. Now, O Lord, let thy promise unto David my father be established, for thou hast made me king over a people like the dust of the earth in multitude. Give me now wisdom and knowledge, that I may go out and come in before the people. For who can judge this thy people that is so great? Question mark. Who can judge without wisdom? Who can be successful without wisdom? Show me a man that can do well in any aspect of life without wisdom. And God said to Solomon, because this was in thy heart, that thou hast not asked for riches, wealth, and honor, nor life of thy enemies, neither had thou asked long life, but had asked for wisdom. God was inspired by his request. God was happy by his request. And he asked for wisdom. And then he gave him wisdom, and he gave him friends of wisdom. There are some things that are friends of wisdom. Maybe one day we'll preach about that. The friends of... There are some things that anywhere wisdom is, they go there. Anywhere wisdom goes, they go with it. I pray for somebody here today, you will not lack wisdom. We are in a generation where there is so much wisdom deficiency. Having beard does not mean that you have wisdom. It doesn't mean that you have wisdom. Having a nice shape does not mean you have wisdom. The Bible says, a woman that lacks wisdom, she's like a gold ring in a pig's mouth. Pig's snout, a pig's mouth, a pig's nose. If a lady is so beautiful and you talk to her and she talks stupidly, she's like a gold ring in the mouth of a pig. How many of you want to take a gold ring from the mouth of a pig? Wisdom. How do you get wisdom? How do you assess wisdom? You assess wisdom, number one, by you can pray for wisdom. James chapter 1 verse 5. Does anyone lack wisdom? Let him ask of God that giveth unto all men liberally and unbraideth not. You can get wisdom by observation. You can observe. You can observe to get wisdom. You can observe to get wisdom. And of course, you can study to get wisdom. You can read to get wisdom and knowledge. There are people here today who, some of the books that are outside that have been there months upon months upon months upon months, they pass by. They prefer to go and buy ice cream instead of buying book. You can't imagine. It can't. It doesn't match. Ice cream and book. I'd rather not take ice cream for 10 years than to miss one book. As in 10 years of not taking ice cream is better than to miss a book that will give me wisdom. I would say wisdom is profitable to direct. Proverbs 8 verse 15 says, by wisdom kings reign and princes decree justice. No man or woman can reign outside of wisdom. It is your wisdom level that has put you where you are today. If you become wiser, you go further. In that department of yours, you will begin to reign. I say you will begin to reign. Because wisdom will tell you that when exam is approaching, Facebooking should drop, WhatsApping should drop, and toasting by nonsensical people should be exterminated. Whereby you sit down to read when exam is approaching. And someone says, hello, I just want to talk to you. Talk to who? Wisdom is profitable to direct. Wisdom is profitable to direct. Wisdom is profitable to direct. You know why a lot of people are sacked in their place of work? It's not because they don't have certificate, they lack wisdom. There's wisdom to operate in an office. There's wisdom as a student. There's wisdom to operate as a wife. There's wisdom to operate as a husband. There's wisdom needed in every segment and sector of life. Number four, necessity for reigning. Essential for reigning is strength and health. Someone say strength and health. Anybody who has no strength, who is sick, cannot reign. 1 Peter 2 verse 24. Who his own self bore our sins on his own body. On his own body on the tree. That we, being dead to sin, should live unto righteousness. By whose stripes we were healed. So God is our healer. 3 John verse 2. I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health as thy soul prospereth. So our God is a God of health. He wants us to have strength and health. He desires. You can't reign if you are sick. How many kings have you seen that can reign long? How many can go to school and finish school with sickness? Sickness have destroyed many more, have sent more people out. Many have faced tanker because of sickness than any other thing. Because many that the enemy sends arrow of sickness to during the exam period, and they are not able to write well, there might be, another chance might not be available. But that will never be your portion. I say that will never be your portion. So to reign, you need health as a student, as a married man, as a married woman. No matter who you are, you need good health. Now all these blessings I'm listing today shall be expressed in your life visibly in the name of Jesus. I say it will show in your life in the name of Jesus. Nobody here will taste of sickness again in the name of Jesus. In Isaiah 38 from verse 1 to 5, you know the story very well of Hezekiah when he was sick unto death. He was sick unto death and he was able to get himself out of that because he went to God. So number one way to assess health for reigning is prayer. You can pray to secure good health. Number two is wise living. Wise living. I have said this in the course of the training. You can't be spending your money on Tramadol. I was reading the papers yesterday. They tried to bribe some custom officers for $400,000+ because they brought in 70.9 billion worth of Tramadol. 70.9 fresh container. Worth 70.9. It is people that will consume it too. If they are not selling, they won't bring it in. A product that does not sell, evil man does not invest in it. 70.9 billion of products, of banned items. And they gave bribe of $421 million to the custom, which we heard was rejected. I just hope it was not 1 million and then part was cut out and then part was declared. Praise the Lord. But that's a good one. May the Lord help us. I say may the Lord help us. If a man or woman or youth is not wise, he will die for free. That youth will die for free. As in, just die for free. Wisdom is profitable to direct. You know what you want out of your own life. You know how many years you budgeted for yourself. So you can't just live anyhow. You can't smoke banja wee wee. Because that is not your plan. As the Mojibi said in the course of his teaching on Friday, that some people will smoke to the extent that some wires will cut in their brain. I mean, my brain spinned. Say some wire will cut. Having been involved in electrical work for some time, I know what it means for one wire to cut. So if you are not wise, and you don't live wise, you can't read. And you will lose your health. And you will lose it for free, for cheap. And number three, way to assess strength and good health, is kingdom service. The more you serve God, in Exodus 23 verse 25, thou shalt serve the Lord thy God, and he will bless thy bread and thy water. He will take away sickness from you. Exodus 23, 25. I can't imagine a youth. I said in the course of my teaching earlier on in the week, youthfulness is what? Usefulness. If you are a youth and you are not useful, you are useless. So, you can't. How can you claim you love God, yet you are doing nothing for him? Nothing. Absolutely nothing. That's not a wise way to live. That's not a wise way to. I can't imagine how your parents lived, whereby it did not profit them. You now put your leg inside the same shoe. Or your parents even lived a good life and are still serving God in now. But you say, no, I will never live my own life like that. You will pay for it. A youth, a child of God that must reign and want strength must serve God. You must serve God. The more you serve him, the more he services you. The more you serve him, the more he strengthens you. Nothing will withdraw your health. Number five, major essential for reigning is honor. God is the giver of honor. No man can give anybody honor except God. And everybody that will reign needs honor. That's why you see people that when they have money, they use money to buy honor. And how do you get honor? Very simple. Honor God and honor his servants. Honor those that God has placed ahead of you. 1 Samuel 2 verse 30. He that honors me, I will honor. He that despises me, I will lightly esteem him. 1 Samuel 2 verse 30, the B part. If you honor God, you have signed for honor. If you honor God, you have signed for honor. I was watching a program yesterday, and I saw one of our fathers in the faith. And I saw big, big, big senators, governors, coming to his leg like this to come and greet him. He sat down, and then this one will come. That one will come. This one will come. Big, big men in this nation. They could not stand on their feet to greet him. They met him at a program. They, as in the people that run the nation, including the vice president, was there. They could not stand to greet because of the level of honor bestowed on God. And then God gives you a little bit of that honor for you to also enjoy. I pray for somebody here today, you will enjoy honor in life. Your dishonor of God is a call to dishonor. When you dishonor God, forget God. Forget God. Forget all these pastors. Forget them. When some people talk about God and talk about pastors in your presence, they even talk better about poo-poo than them. Then forget those guys. Guys. Those hungry people. Just give them some small change now. They'll be running their mouths. He that honors me. Somebody said something recently. He said, if you are going to offend God, you will offend human being first. If you are going to enjoy God's blessing, it is through human being he will give it to you. Have you ever seen anybody that God wants to bless and God suddenly just come down to the person's front and gives, even Abraham did not do like that. Genesis chapter 12 verse, he gave me instruction on what to do. Genesis 12 from verse 1 to 4. He appeared to him and said, oh yeah, leave your father's house, your mother's house, and go to where. And Genesis chapter 12 verse 4, the Bible says, he departed. God will not just, if you, God is going to honor you, he will use people. So your dishonor of people, and your dishonor of God, and your dishonor of God's house, is a cult. Now, listen to this. Pastors' wives, and people close to servants of God, beware. Because if your closeness makes you to dishonor these ones, it's a terrible thing before God. That's why for me, I don't know if you have ever, I will never and I can never speak against servants of God. Reason very simple. I'm not their caller. I'm not their caller. That's my own. Honoring God makes you to reign without sweats. You don't need to be a pastor. You don't need to be minister. Anything you are doing, honor God. Reference God. Let God have value in your life. When we say God, you edge. God is not somebody that you just deal with anyhow, you just push around anyhow. He's our creator and he's a big man. Come on, give God a big clap, everybody, this morning. Give him a big clap of appreciation. And how do you get honor? I've said it. Number one, honor God and his anointed servants. Two, honor your parents. And three, walk in godly character. Many have lost their honor because of godly character. Because of lack of godly character. If you don't want to lose your... Many have lost respect. If you are a married man, for example, now, and after service now, you wait for a young lady out of... This my daughter's here. And you toast her outside. She can slap you. She can slap you. And the thing can... It can even bring out one of your teeth since your teeth is getting weak. Have this honor yourself. Your godly character makes people to honor you. On the day you withdraw that godly character, you are claiming dishonor. You will never be a candidate of dishonor in Jesus' name. So let your character speak for you. They say character speaks louder than voice. If you want men to honor you, if you desire honor, then walk in character. Number six, major essential for reigning is glory. You need glory. In Genesis 45 verse 13, you can see Joseph experiencing glory. And ye shall tell my father of all my glory in Egypt. God gave Joseph glory. He bestowed glory upon him. He gave him glory. And if you are going to truly reign, you need the glory of God upon your life. You need the hand of God, the glory of God upon your life and upon your... Just like it was that glory that brought Joseph out of prison. You are coming out of the prison of life today. I say you are coming out of the prison of life today. You are coming out of the prison of life today. And how do you assess this glory? 1 Chronicles 16:29, praises. The more you pray, that's why you see in this commission, we praise God. We praise God massively. If we had the opportunity, we would praise God from the beginning to the end of the service. If not, that people will say maybe they don't have something to preach. The more you praise God as a youth, the more the glory of God appears in your life. I've told you the story before. While as an undergraduate in school, whenever we do courses that are very difficult, and people are complaining and murmuring, and walking back to the hostel, I will walk straight to a place we call Sports Center where we pray. And I'll be doing praise worship. It's a big place. Be doing praise worship. And people will be walking past, and they will be mocking me from afar. I can't imagine these stupid boy. After this kind of course that we are not sure that one person will pass. See how he's dancing. Yes. And they will tell me the following morning, we saw you yesterday. And when the result will come, they'll be looking at me in front. Praises takes you to your places. That place that you are supposed to be, it is praise that will take you there. If you refuse to praise, you cannot go to your place. You can't take your place. If you really want to take your place, that's why if you are a single lady here today, you want to leave your father's house and go to your husband's house. Be praising God in that your father's house. Be praising God in that your father's house. Let every neighbor know your voice. In the morning, if you are cooking for your mother in the kitchen, be singing praises. I told you the story where my wife and I were trusting God for our first child. We were staying in a place that had like three other people, different flats. We praise God to the extent that we became a nuisance to the neighborhood. So we close, just two of us alone. We lock all the windows because our praise, the following day, they say, you allow us to sleep. Praise. So we lock the windows on ourselves and be praising. Praising for what? Nothing. Just thanking God. Praising for what? Just appreciating God. In that same place, God bless us. And we moved out of that house and left all of them there and moved to our own house. Left all of them there. They were still there for many years thereafter. If you are ready to praise God, you are ready to change levels. Somebody's changing levels here today. The days of your murmuring are over. If your room is as small as this, your room is small, it can only take one bed. Be praising God in that your small room. Then from there, we take you to room and parlor. From room and parlor, we take you to one bedroom. One bedroom to two bedroom to three bedroom. It will take you to your own house. Somebody's here today. By the special grace of God, wonders will happen in your life this time. Wonders will happen in your life this time. Number two way to exercise glory is, again, kingdom stewardship. Kingdom stewardship. The more you serve God, the more His glory comes on you. The more you serve God with your talents. Many of you youths here today, you have talents. You can play the keyboard. You can play guitar. You can work as an usher. I used to be an usher to my pastor. And we stand like this man is standing like this from 7 a.m. to 1 p.m. every day, every Sunday, including Wednesday services, as an usher. There's something you can do. There is something you can. If you need the glory, it's necessary for you to walk in stewardship. For every glory, there's a story. And one of the stories is kingdom stewardship. For every glory, there's a story. You can't serve God and be wasted. When I see people that are serving God, honestly speaking, my mind is at rest. The reason is because I know what they want, they will get it. I know it. But as a youth that breezes to church only on Sunday morning and comes in late, though, and even before they say, may the grace of our Lord Jesus, before they finish like this, you are already on an Okada, or gathering yourself back home, then the glory, the glory is still needed. I pray for somebody here today. The heart of service God will give to you. I say the heart of service God will give to you. Your heart will be panting after God. Number three way to glory is obedience. If you want to obey, if you want glory, obey. Number seven, where we stop under the essentials before I begin to round up gradually, is blessings. One of the major things necessary for a youth is the blessing. The Bible says, Proverbs 10:22, it is the blessing of the Lord that maketh rich and addeth no sorrow. Blessing. You can't compare anything with blessing. Money can't compare with blessing. Honestly, if you have 7 certificates and you lack blessing, it's still useless. Visa can't be compared with blessing. Blessing is superior to everything. Blessing terminates courses. As a youth, as a married man, as a married woman, pursue blessing. Honestly, I prefer for somebody to bless me. Somebody wants to give me money, 1 million, and somebody wants to bless me, I will take the blessing. Because the blessing can give me 1 billion. Why do I want to settle for less? The blessing. And how do you secure the blessing? Just three. There are many other things that can bring the blessing. Number one is seeking God continuously. Seeking God, staying in God's presence. David said, I will rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of wickedness. David was permanently in God's house. He said, I was glad when they said to me, let us go to the house of the Lord. Seeking God. Number two way to the blessing is gratitude. Grateful heart. Grateful heart. Be grateful. And number three is salvation. Salvation brings blessing. As I round up this morning, what is my counsel to the youths this morning? Number one counsel is live a responsible life. If you want to reign, be responsible. If to the extent that those that produce alcohol, they now, in their adverts, they even add drink responsibly. Can you imagine that? Somebody is selling poison and he said, take it responsibly. Because we were made to understand during this program that alcohol, cigarette, banja, wee-wee, tramadol is a poison. It's a poison. Live responsibly. Number two, counsel is invest in your relationship with God. That is, build your spiritual life. Invest in your spiritual life. Invest massively in your spiritual life. Get books. Get materials. I can help you. Study every day. Have a target of a number of... If you are a youth, at least a member of this church, minimum 10 chapters per day. Minimum. That is like the minimum a day. You want to be a serious Christian. 10 chapters per day as a youth. What are you using your time for? What are you using your 24 hours for? Invest it into the things of God. Study. Sit down. Number three, counsel to the youth this morning is be a focused person. If you are not focused, you can become a locust. Be focused. Be focused about life. Can you imagine somebody in 100 level was in medicine, 200 level was in accounting, 300 level was in law, and 400 level was in home economics? How will he graduate? Focus. Focus. Be focused. Be a focused person. Be focused. We have youths that are not focused. Youths that are parting their life away. Parrying. Where you are parrying. That's lack of focus. You're not focused. Number four, counsel to the youth is don't be a lazy youth. Our president said some time ago that Nigerian youths are lazy. Yes and no. Yes, because some are lazy. No, because many people that are here today are not lazy. If you are one of those that are not lazy, shout hallelujah. Shout a louder hallelujah. Don't be lazy. Don't be lazy. I wonder if a youth knows that his father and mother cannot pay his school fees in a session and you have holiday of 5 months and you spent it all watching television. You are a lazy youth. You know your father and your mother cannot pay your school fees and you spend holiday of 5 months or 4 months inside the house. Your skin was glowing like glow baby. You are deceiving yourself. You are ruining your life. And I shock you, I have never had an holiday without working. I have never had an holiday in my university days without working. There is no holiday. Even if it's 1 month, I must work. I mean, work determines your worth. You are not working, you are useless. It's when you are not working, you'll be thinking of nonsense things. That's when you'll be telling one girl to come and visit you. Then you switch off the light to dim light. You put the light, you put the music on blues. Touch you. It's all that I can do. Because you are less busy. Someone that has gone to work from morning to night, where will you have the time for that? Your leg has been used. Your hand has been used. Your brain has been used. All you need is you want food. You want to pray and sleep. Number five, counsel to the youths is prepare for your marriage before you get married. It's unfortunate that many youths begin to prepare for marriage when they get married. They begin to read marriage books only after marriage. It's good to read marriage books after marriage. I read minimum of one marriage book every month to get new wisdom, both to teach and to also be able to be better at home. Minimum one every month. Minimum. Some months more than that. But before marriage, you invest yourself massively. Talking of books, you shouldn't have less than 20-something books on marriage before you get married, which you are reading regularly. Because you don't prepare for marriage after marriage. You prepare for marriage before marriage. You buy CDs, you buy materials of proven servants of God that have testimony in that area. That's how to do it. But after marriage, you know, my friend, can you imagine? Your friend Seb doesn't have nothing. She has nothing upstairs. So she now advises you, honestly speaking, the next time the husband talks to you like that, honestly, if immediately you are doing amala, just remove the mortar from the amala. Bring it on his head. That's very good. If you are boiling water, splash the water on him. So his brain will come home. If he comes late again, lock him outside. That when you lock him outside, he's still outside. Immediately he comes inside, he will pack your load and carry it outside. Prepare for your marriage. Prepare for your marriage before you get married. This is the time you start investing. This is the time you start praying. And if you're already engaged, prepare. The gifts you should be exchanging now is books. Birthdays and all these things for the person you want to get married to is books. If you give her ice cream, she will just have a jelly. Ice cream. She will flush it inside toilets. So invest in that person and ask, have you read it? Okay, let us share, sit down together and study what you read there. And don't study it inside the corner of your room. Study it in a public place. Nowadays, when my wife and I were preparing to get married, we used to pray once a week. We pray publicly. I remember very, she remembers very well, Friday night. But it has never been inside the room before. It's outside. In the church premises like this, but outside the church. Oh! Because I can't guarantee inside the room. No. That's too, the risk is too much. So outside, public place. Hallelujah. Counsel. See, don't trust yourself when it comes to this issue. If you trust yourself, you will fail yourself. I'm telling you. You will fail bereketeciously. So don't say, I trust myself. You will see when you remove your clothes. You will not even know. So don't trust yourself at all. You tempt yourself, you'll be surprised. 1 Timothy 4 verse 12. Let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of a believer in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, and in purity. 1 Timothy 4 verse 12. Now, number 6, counsel to youth is honor those who are ahead of you. Honor those. This is a generation whereby many don't honor elders. You are a lady. You met an elder coming at the door. Two of you met and you still wanted to like, can't you see me? It's not good. Honor elders. You know what they call honor? Honor is a very serious thing. No? Honor, when you honor somebody. A very serious thing. Some people send text to me. I just ignore the text. You know what? When they want to send text to their friends, the way they compose text to their friends, maybe new month text, the same way they just send it and they add me to those others. It's a dishonor. The way you send text to your father is different from the way you send to your friends. Am I right? It's different. You have to send text to somebody that is a spiritual father to you. The same text you send to your security man, the same text you send to the Okada man that takes you to school, you say happy, you send it also to your master. Take it. They are also part of the. So I just look and say, no, this is not for me. I reject it. I passed this level long time. Honor those who are ahead of you. Honor them. And number 7, where I will stop today. Maintain a conscience that is alive and free of youthful lust. 2 Timothy 2 verse 22. Maintain a conscience that is alive and free of youthful lust. As I round up this morning, flee also youthful lust, but follow righteousness, faith. What happened? Faith, charity, peace with them that call on the Lord out of a pure conscience. To be successful and to run away from the present age problems, youthful exuberance. Don't just run. Flee from it. And if you have been there before, the wisest thing you can do is to say, I'm not doing again. You know what? It doesn't matter how long you have gone on the wrong route. You can still come back to the right route. That's the beauty of life. You might have done many, many wrong things. Can I shock you? Most of those that you see that are doing well today, they were also doing bad before. They change their steps. One of the ways to show that you are wise, and it's not as if the devil is pursuing you, is that you heard a message, or you read something. I'm wiser than this. What they have said now, I want to follow it. I can't continue the same way. To flee youthful exuberance. If you get to a level as a youth where your conscience doesn't work again, you are dead. You smoke, you didn't feel it. Your boyfriend unwrapped your brazier. Did not even sleep with you at all. Remove it. Pam, pam. And you did not even feel guilty. This is wrong. Not to talk of him just carrying you and put your wall back on the wall. Your conscience should be telling you, no! Your conscience. My prayer for everyone here today is that no youth here will waste his or her youthfulness. There are two pains in life, the pain of discipline and the pain of regret. If you want the pain of discipline, that's what I'm talking about this morning. Ensure that you are disciplined. If you want the pain of regret, then you say, Pastor, forget it. You are no school. You don't know what you're talking about. You are not current. I'm more current than you can ever think. More current than you can fathom. Because I know what is right and I know what the Bible says. My prayer for everyone here today is that the blessing of the Lord will speak for you.
Wow. I know you must have been blessed by this message. Please feel free to worship with us at Impact House International Church, Praise Tabernacle, along Pipeline Road, Ilorin. For more inquiries, you can call 081-086-78878 or visit our website www.impacthouseinternationalchurch.org. I appreciate you.